The reading I'm going to do has a very long title. It's from Making a Home in Unitarian Universalism. We are all on a lifelong faith journey. What an adventure. Your journey has brought you to a Unitarian Universalist congregation or community. Bringing your heart, hands, and minds to your work with the congregation will turn the congregation from just a roster of interesting people with stimulating ideas to a real faith home. Here are some suggestions to help you settle in. First, live with a loving heart. Worship with the congregation. This is different from attending worship. Worship is not a spectator sport. It is the process by which we define and celebrate that which is of worth to the congregation. Come prepared to actively participate, whether you are offering the hand of friendship, or singing a hymn, or discussing a sermon with a new friend after the service. One of the biggest advantages of being an individual in community is that you get to hear the stories of others and learn from their experience. Practice generosity and gratitude. Studies show that happy people rate themselves as generous and full of gratitude. The two are linked. Second, live with helping hands. Volunteer at the congregation. Co-creating the faith takes many hands. Find a volunteer opportunity that matches your interest. Know and support the mission of the congregation. Ask how you can help further the mission. The real test of faith is not how well you keep it among like-minded people, but whether it sustains your life in the world. Third, live with an open mind. Learn about our faith at all levels. Start at your congregation or UU community. Get to know leaders and staff. Learn about your congregational governance. Be informed about the issues. Attend congregational meetings and vote. Visit the Canadian Unitarian Council website. Attend their conferences. Learn UU history. Its history is rich. As co-creator of our living faith, you are creating the legacy for future generations. What will your legacy be? And expect both positive and negative experiences. Our foibles are what are part of what makes us human, and UUs are as human as anybody else. You will, however, be less likely to have negative experiences if you were to understand and keep the covenant that binds us in community. Tolerating unhealthy behavior in yourself and in others will undermine the congregation and our faith. Remember, faith development is all we do. Unitarian Universalism is the faith we teach. The congregation is the curriculum. Welcome to the adventure.
So I've decided that during one of the services in October, I'm going to perform an exorcism right here in the sanctuary. Ready. I never studied exorcism in detail in seminary. Believe it or not, there was a course on this. Some people took it very seriously. But it wasn't a required course for Unitarian Universalist students, as you might suspect. So I'll have to do some research. But I do know that exorcism is about demonic possession, right? So listen up. Our theme for the month of September has been the word covenant. Some of you will be happy to know that September is almost over, and we'll be moving on to a different theme. Last week, Mary Lou shared with us her distaste for that word covenant because of the use of that word in a legal context related to real estate that she experienced decades ago. In her case, it was a covenant for a subdivision that bound property owners not to sell their property to certain ethnic groups. And that's ruined that word for her ever since. Others among you, I strongly suspect, are uncomfortable with the word covenant because of some other associations, no matter how vague or how deeply suppressed, associations with a type of religious practice that you have rejected. I get it. Specific words can have a very negative association for us. Perfectly good words, like soul, salvation, faith, God, church, religion, even minister, can be possessed by demons of our own past experience. And we need to save these perfectly good words by exercising those demons. Watch this space for developments in October. If you have any ideas how to conduct an exorcism, let me know. I'm looking for place. This is important because everyone who ascribes to Unitarian Universalism as a faith tradition is bound by covenant, written or otherwise. Every member of this congregation, each one of you, should know where to find a copy of our covenant and should spend some time to determine what those words mean to you. We are bound together by covenant. What we call our poetic covenant reads as follows. Compassion is the doctrine of our church. The quest for truth, its sacrament. Justice is its prayer. To grow in understanding through dialogue and freedom, to support each other's dance with life, to engage the earth in peace, to the end that we speak ourselves into community and hear each other into being. Thus do we covenant with each other and with the universe. Those words have been a source of healing within this congregation, and they've inspired us to stay together through difficult times. They bind us. As Alan pointed out last week, this is our poetic covenant. We also have a behavioral covenant that describes in much greater detail how we would strive to be together. We need to keep that document alive as well, but that's beyond the scope of today's message. I paraphrase here from an article on covenant by Reverend Victoria Safford. Seeing ourselves as bound in covenant is an old practice among us. Reverend Safford quotes from John Winthrop from 1630. Speaking to a soggy, stalwart band of fellow Puritans sailing with high and pious hopes aboard the Arabella toward a new life in North America. Puritans are considered to be, especially in the United States, at the source of Unitarian Universalism. He said this, "Now the only way to avoid a shipwreck and to provide for our posterity is to follow the counsel of Micah, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We must be willing to abridge ourselves of our superfluities for the supply of others' necessities. We must uphold a familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberty. We must delight in each other, make others' conditions our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together, always having before our eyes our commission and community in the work. Our community as members of the same body, so shall we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Herman Safford writes, "It was an extraordinary declaration of interdependence. Despite their stone-cold reputation, their caricatured intolerance, these were people who promised to bear each other's burdens as their own, to subvert their separate and private interests, their superfluities, for the public good of all. Humbly, gently, patiently, they would serve a vision larger than any single eye could see. They would hold a larger hope." And those who heard John Winthrop speak would surely have grasped the metaphor of danger. They would have been afraid not only of foundering literally on New England's rocky shore, but of failing in their errand to establish this commonwealth, their city on the hill. The only way to avoid shipwreck, spiritual or otherwise, was to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace, to make and keep a sacred covenant together. There ends the quote. Membership has always had that connotation of binding people together in a group to protect them from some external threat. John Winthrop's Puritan band were threatened with obliteration in the New World if they didn't support one another. It was a dangerous place. Today, for us, that kind of existential threat does not play into decision-making for most of us. We generally feel safe and free to move about in our liberal democratic society. The whole idea of membership is less and less attractive. Who needs it? As I said in the newsletter description of this sermon, what your membership in this church means to you is personal. But I do hope that it means something important to you. I hope that you feel a part of something important here. The words of our chalice lighting and the words that Margaret read earlier were written by Connie Goodbread. I know Connie personally and worked with her, and she's a wonderful inspiration. She's still very active in the UUA. She's the director, I think, for the southern region, the advisor from the UUA for the southern region. She described Unitarian Universalism with three simple statements. Faith tradition is all we do. Unitarian Universalism is the faith that we teach, and the congregation is the curriculum. Here we go again. Faith, another one of those words that needs exorcism. For the sake of today's, let's just say that faith is the thing that gives your life meaning, whatever that is for you. The development of that understanding, the quest to give meaning to our lives, is all that we do here. The faith tradition that we follow is Unitarian Universalism, an open and evolving tradition that takes in all the teachings of all the religious sages, philosophers, scientists, poets, composers, and writers, all those who have striven to create a vision of a better world. And the congregation is the curriculum. Here is the meat of the matter at hand. The universe around us is our school, if we just open our eyes. The universe is our teacher and our curriculum. The universe is always asking us questions, but the universe is not always a safe place. When we're learning out there, we cannot assume best intentions on the part of those who would be our teachers. Here in this congregation, when our covenant is in effect, we are in a safe place for learning. Our interaction with members of the congregation is the stuff that enlightens our faith journey. The cultural circle, which will take place here after the service, is part of our curriculum, a struggle to understand our place in the great quest for truth and reconciliation in our land today. Sunday brunch that I mentioned is part of our curriculum, an opportunity to grow into what it means to know and serve your neighbors, a chance to expand our personal comfort zones with people that we might not otherwise be in contact with. Our caring committee is part of our curriculum, an opportunity to learn compassion and a practical way to help others in times of difficulty. A chance, too, to witness the stages of life and to see ourselves in that beautiful continuum from birth to death, that path that we all must walk alone. Our religious exploration program for youth, our chance to give meaning to our lives by helping shape the values and the visions of those who will take our place guiding the great human experiment. This is part of our curriculum. The work we've done with refugees, a chance to learn how to navigate the complexities of governmental bureaucracy for the benefit of friends we do not know yet. Those who are living in a place we can hardly imagine, places we most of us have never been. Our participation in the Pride Parade, part of our curriculum, a chance to develop a lived experience of diversity and to question our own human experience of gender and sexuality in all its complexity and all its richness. And our memorial services for those who have died, perhaps the most profound opportunity for reflection on our faith and on the meaning that we give to our lives. I could go on. Every board meeting, every committee meeting, every Sunday service, every coffee hour, every single interaction with another member of this congregation is an opportunity for personal and communal growth. And this can be frustrating. All of these interactions can be frustrating. But opportunities to grow are that way. The congregation is the curriculum, and your membership enrolls you in that course of study. It's a very special curriculum and a very special kind of classroom. May we each appreciate the opportunity given to us here. May we hold it together with love, and may we honor our covenant one with another. May it be so, and amen.